bed. I looked for my clothes to wear and finally found them and put them on. And I went out and found the table and I ate my breakfast blindfolded. Found my way out to the car and my wife drove me to church. Went into the church house blind, couldn't see. And he wanted to do this so he could feel for the blind man. He got someone to lead him up behind the pulpit. When he got up behind the pulpit, he took his covering off his eyes so he could see to preach. I said, "Brother Hudell," I said, "I don't want to discourage you in what you just said, but you have no idea what a blind man goes through." He says, "What do you mean? I just did all those things when I was blind." I said, "There's one thing you're forgetting. You knew any time you wanted to, you could take that off." I said, "You don't know, you can't feel for a blind man. Because once we're blind and we can't see, and we can't do something about it, brethren, I'm here to tell you, that's another story." Now, I knew what he was saying. But yet, anytime he wanted to, he could have ripped that off. And how often I would have done that if I could have. Well, tonight, you know, we could talk about a lot of things. And Brother Abner and I talked about a lot of things this afternoon. We went back quite a few years, even before I was married. And we can talk about those things, and we have good memories, we have bad memories, but those things never change. Tonight, I'd like to talk about a man that if we listen to him, things will happen. That's Jesus. You know, I'm well aware tonight that there is no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved but by Jesus. You can tell a person tonight what he needs to do. He shouldn't smoke. He shouldn't drink. He shouldn't gamble. He shouldn't go to the movies. He shouldn't speed down the road. You can tell him all that. But I'd like to say tonight, if Jesus Christ comes home to a man's life, he'll find himself not wanting to do those things. So the thing tonight is to present to our people Jesus. Now I know I had a real problem with smoking. And people talk to me how wrong it is. I'm here tonight to let you know I knew it was wrong. I was interested in finding victory. And the day that a dear brother and I went out back in back of the barn, I could take you to that farm. There was two concrete blocks there. He sat on the one concrete block. I sat on the other. And he told me I'm to tell Jesus where I'm at and what I want. If I ever cried my heart out to God, I did that time. I just told him where I am, where I'd like to be. I told him I can't do it of myself. I'm up against the wall. And I asked him if he wouldn't help me. And that dear brother prayed beside me. He rebuked the devil. And I don't know what all happened. But when I got up off of that concrete block, I knew something happened. A couple days later, I was where people were smoking, and I literally got that sick that I spewed. I smoked like 2 pack a day at the most. And I went from I don't know what to nothing in 10 minutes. And I'm here to say tonight, when Jesus does something for you and for me, He does it right. I could take you to a field tonight where there's at least 20 or 25 packs of cigarettes buried under. I worked for my brother Omer. I was on the plow, plowing with horses. Got so convicted. Threw him in the fur. That's it. That night I found myself buying more. The next day I threw that pack in the fur. There was no victory for me, I thought. But the fact of the matter is, I was trying to do it on my own strength. And when I came to the place, and I'm here to tell you that was 30-some years ago, and I have never had a desire for a cigarette since. Praise God, when Jesus does something, He does it right. But too many times, we think we can handle it, and we can't. I'm here to tell you tonight, brethren, the devil is too strong for you. You can't handle him. You can't outwit him. Well, so much for that. This Jesus tonight, I'd like to ask a few questions. Why was Jesus born? Is somebody in the community here that you would know would not be a Christian? And he'd ask you the question, why was Jesus born? What would you say? Abner said, be silent. I say, speak to me. Why was Jesus born? A Bible verse now. I know it's easy to say, well, yeah, He died on the cross so we can live. That's true. Okay. Someone quote to me John 3:16. Well, maybe I need to quote it. Did you catch that? God so loved the world that He gave. The reason that God gave His Son is because He loved us. And the extent that that love took Him. And I'd like to remind you tonight, the next verse says, I believe, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But I'd like to remind you tonight, when God decided to give His Son because of the love that He had, He already knew what His Son is going to have to suffer. What He's going to have to go through. That there's long furs going to be plowed on His back, I think as Isaiah says. You know, He's going to be mocked. He's going to be spit upon. He's going to be hit across the mouth. He's going to be used as a, I don't know what, to the extent that if I'm not mistaken, the Bible says that His countenance was disfigured, that people didn't know Him. Now mind you, it's one thing to give your Son, but it's another thing to know that when you do that, what He's going to suffer. And I ask you again, why did He do it? Because he loved us. Love was the motivating factor. All right. I'd like to give a few verses out tonight. I'd like for you to take them, speak up right away, and then when I ask for them, you read them. John 10:10. James 5:16. Matthew 11:28. All right, if you have John 10:10, stand to your feet and read it loud and clear.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Thank you. The thief doesn't come around but to destroy and to kill. But when the Father gave me, I come into this world that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Life is one thing. I'm not sure tonight if I know of what abundant life is. I guess that's life plus. But to think that was the purpose of His coming. And you know, most of us, maybe not most of us, but those of us that grew up in the old order church, if I may use that term, were very ignorant, were very rebellious, lived in the depths of sin, not realizing, at least not accepting the fact that God loved us so much that He gave His Son so that we can have abundant life. We're talking about living now. Not being ashamed of the abundant life. All right, scripture verse in James 5:16. Are we aware of the fact tonight that because of Jesus coming into this world, because of Jesus dying on the cross, we have the opportunity to confess our sin. And there is redemption. And through that confession, as we confess our sins, we have the privilege of doing that. That we may be, what was the word, brother? Healed. You know, that's what I'm saying. When I was going through this cigarette craze, there was times that I didn't smoke for 2-3 days. But that desire, that thing came so strong, I yielded again. I say tonight, dearly beloved, when God sent His Son, and His Son died on the cross, and through Him we can have life, and we can be healed. We can be delivered from those things that have been bondage to us. Had God not given His Son, there would be no hope. Think about it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, dearly beloved, I think, we should thank God every day for giving His Son. I really do. excuse me. All right, the last scripture verse, I believe it was in Matthew 11:28. Do you realize tonight, and I am going to try to drive this home, to have us more appreciative for Jesus Christ. Had God not given His Son, had He not suffered, had He not died, When you read this scripture verse again, it just passed from my mind. Or the thought. And heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Had that not happened back at the cross, where would you go? But because that it happened, didn't only happen back there, but with that, now he's saying, come to me. Come to me, all ye that are laden and burdened and heavy laden. And a lot of times, I don't think you're any different than I am. But there's times that I have burdens on my heart. There's times that I don't hardly know which way to turn. But I'm glad for that reminder from the Scripture that His door, His heart, His life, He's always saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. There is a place of rest tonight. There is the place where we can go where there's peace. Where we can fellowship with God. And that all happened. And the reason for all that is that we can do that is because of what happened. Now, I guess one of the amazing things to me is, after that Jesus suffered the way that He did on that cruel cross, Isaiah tells us something. He said, when the Father looked upon His Son, when He seen the travail of His Son, He was what? Satisfied. His love was carried out. He was satisfied. All I can say tonight is praise God. Praise God. Now, I have another question I would like to ask. Why did He live here 30 some years possibly before He died? You tell me, why did He live here on this earth? What do you think? Why didn't God just give His Son? He died and got it over with, and then that's it. Why did He live here on earth? Tell me, please. Have you never thought about that, Abner? Okay, very good. And another thing I think of is, He lived this as a life of example. He taught us how we should live. You know, it was Jesus that brought this thing together of communion. It was Jesus that was the example of feet washing. And it was Him that said, like as I have done to you, so do ye one to another. But brethren, it was Him that introduced the holy kiss. It was Him that introduced marriage. It was Him that when, like Brother Abner said, when he went up to the mountain, it was Him that showed us how we should be, how that we should face temptation. You know, when Jesus was up there on the mountain and the devil came to Him and he tempted Him, what did Jesus do? Tell me. Quoted quoted Scripture. He told us through that experience, possibly that we're going to be tempted. And He showed us the way how to face it. Prepare your heart. Put that Word of God in your life. So that when you are tempted, we can speak the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you tonight, dearly beloved, Satan cannot stand in the presence of the Word of God. David said, "Thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." I can't encourage enough tonight, dearly beloved, that we hide the Word of God in our heart, so that when that old devil comes around and he tempts us about this and that, that we may know what the Scripture says and we may quote it, and he has to flee. I met a man in New York City. We were up at the Bowery Mission. How many have been at the Bowery Mission in New York? Number of you? Well, this man was outside the Bowery Mission. Oh, there was a heap and pile of empty cans, garbage along the road. He was rooting through there. He got 5 or 6 drops out of this can. Maybe he got 10 or 12 drops out of this can. Rooting through there. It wasn't all beer. It wasn't all whiskey. It was all kinds of trash. It all went together in one bottle. He did that till he had about this much in the bottle, and then he drank it. So I went over. I was watching him. I started talking to him about Jesus Christ. I could have said, "Now, brother or man, you shouldn't be drinking that." And I figured he probably knew he shouldn't be. But anyway, I started talking with him. And he said he used to be a preacher. Said he was a preacher for 35 years. I said, "Oh?" I said, "What happened?" "Well," he said, "I got my eyes off of God." Now, I'd like to ask you the question tonight, is that possible for you? To get your eyes off of God? But the thing that challenged me about that man, and I'm serious when I say this, he could quote the Bible from cover to cover, every verse. The whole Bible. Not James, and not Luke and Matthew, but Genesis to Revelation. So I started challenging him. I said, "You can?" "Yeah," he said, "I was preaching for 35 years. I know the Bible from cover to cover." I said, "What does Genesis 5:16 say?" And he quoted it word for word. I said, "What about," I'm just using some verses now, I forget what I asked. "What about Hebrews 3:1? Quoted it. Went to Revelation, went to the Old Testament, went to Psalms, went to Proverbs. Wherever I went, whatever I asked, he quoted word for word. Now you may ask me, what does Psalms 100 verse 3 say? I'll probably quick think about the first two verses and yeah, I can quote that. But he didn't do that. So I'm also here to say tonight that the answer is not just to hide the Word of God in your heart. He had it from cover to cover and was living in the depths of sin. We can know the Word of God, but unless we're willing to live it, it'll bring damnation to us. But can you imagine with me that a man can actually do that. That a mind. You think you could? I don't know how he did it, but he did it. All right. thinking of Christ living here on this earth, being our example. You know, because of Christ, because of people then being inspired by Him to write and pen these words, I'd like to think for just a little bit about the account in the New Testament of the Good Samaritan. You know, there we had a man, there we have an account of a man that fell among the thieves, the Bible says. You know, that godly priest came along. He seen someone was laying over there, and he passed to the other side of the road. It's not for me. Maybe he seen he wasn't a Mennonite. Maybe he seen he didn't belong to the church at Bedford. So if he's not a one of us, I can't help him. Well, then the Levite came along, and at least he walked over and he looked at him. I don't know what he thought. But I guess he seen he wasn't a Mennonite either. At least not one of our churches. There's probably a reason he's there. Probably did something wrong. I gotta go. Left him. Another man came down the road, and he seen this man. He walked over. He bowed down. I can see that man washing him up. Had wounds. He put something on those wounds. And he had a donkey. So he picked this man up and he put it on his donkey. And he walked and the man rode. They came to an inn. And he said to the innkeeper, "Now look. This man needs some help. I want you to take care of him. And here's some money to pay for your work. I'm coming back through here again in some time. And if this doesn't cover it, I'll pay the rest." And Jesus used this as to teach us something. And then Jesus asked the question, now, who was a brother to this man? Well, the answer was given, the man that helped him. Then Jesus said something. What did he tell the man? What does that mean? Yeah, but he already had done it. What can I? Who can I do it to? Yes. Go and do thou likewise. And I'm just wondering tonight, the example that Jesus gave us with that lesson. You know, since we're out here, had one of the fellow ministers back a number of years. He was not preaching anymore. His wife was killed in an accident. Good friends of ours, actually, it's my wife's first cousin. The man is. Now Jesus said to that man, "Go and do thou likewise." You know, there are many hurting people in your area. And I trust you're not a priest or a Levite tonight. That, yeah, I know that man is struggling over there. But I witnessed to him one time and he didn't have anything to hear. I'm just going to let him go. Now, if it would be your brother, Abner, if your brother Roman would have had a serious accident, you would have heard that he's been clobbered by some thieves and he's barely living. What would you do, you think? You'd probably go and visit him. Now, if that's your neighbor down here, that you don't get along with so well anyhow, and he doesn't really want to hear what you have to say, and he has an accident, how do we respond? Those words, "Go and do thou likewise," are quite a challenge. Depending who it is, I have time. Depending who it is, I don't have time. Depending who it is, I reach in my pocketbook and I get some of that filthy lucre out and here, this is to help you with your hospital bill. Depending who it is, my tendency is to think, well, if you wouldn't have been driving so fast, it wouldn't have happened. God help us! That's not going and doing thou likewise. You know, we have the account in the Bible of Moses when he was preaching, or when he was with leading the children of Israel. They were up against the enemies. And God told Moses to raise his hand. And he did. Or hands, I guess. He said, as long as you have your hands in the air, you're going to win the battle. But I'd like to tell you something tonight, dear friends. You'd hold your hands in the air like this for a while. They have a tendency of going in one direction. And that's down. And when those arms of Moses went down because he couldn't hold them up anymore, then the children of Israel were being defeated. The enemy was taken over. There was two men that apparently seen what was happening. One was Aaron, the other was Hur. They went side by side with Moses, and they held up his hands. One on either side of him, they held up his hands. And as they were doing that, the victory was being won. And I'd like to say tonight, if we could somehow go and do thou likewise with everything that is going on in our churches today, there are ministers, there are bishops, there are lay members that have been holding up their hands to win the battle. And I tell you, I can say for myself, those hands at times get heavy. And I'd like to say tonight, if you know that your leaders, what they're going through, as they are facing the battle, as their arms are getting tired, as they're about ready to let them drop down, dearly beloved, tonight I'd like to encourage you, hold up their hands. There is victory. But if you and I want to be victorious, we're going to have to band together. We're going to have to encourage one another. We're going to have to be an Aaron and a Hur to each other. You know the account of David and Goliath. David being a young boy, the army was up against the Philistines, and this big old giant came out, said, "Why would we all fight? Just send me a man. Whoever I fight with and whoever wins, the others are going to be their captives." But the army was afraid. And David was sent to his brothers to see how they're doing. And he couldn't understand what was going on. What's happening around here? I'm putting some of these things in my own words. What's happening around here? Only to discover that out there in the valley was a man, 13 some feet high. His armor weighed, I checked it out one time, I forget. I mean, he was a beast. And they told him that they have no one to fight him. David said, I'll go. I'll go. They put on the king's armor and he couldn't hardly move. He said, brethren, I have improved this armor. Let me go with what I have. And he had a slingshot. And he picked up 3 or 4 stones along the way. And when that David was going out toward Goliath, ha, ha, ha! Who am I, a dog? Did you come out here with a stick? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they're going to be our people. But David said, you come to me and so and so. But I come to you in the name of Jesus. And he went up, and one sling with his shot, the man was dead. We say tonight, we want victory. Have Jesus on your side. You will have victory. You'll be able to overcome. What a testimony. Also tonight, you know, the Bible teaches us that our responsibility as children of God, Jesus taught us that when we're here, that we need to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. I ask you tonight, do you have time to do it? You may say, well, we don't have any widows in the church here. What about down the road? A widow is a widow, right? A widow becomes lonely. And I think Brother Abner could testify tonight, having 3 daughters of widows at one time, they need us. They need encouragement. They need a basket of flowers. They need a meal brought in. We may have people tonight that are shut-ins. They need your words of encouragement. I know that Brother Joe went through the mill here. He was a sick man. And I trust and I'm sure you cared that you showed that response to him. But brethren, this is what Jesus taught us to do when he was here. You know, people that were outcast in his time, for some reason, he seemed to become their friend. And I'm afraid too often we're ashamed to becoming people like that friend because of what they might do toward us. All right, we need to move on. So we talked a little bit about why that he was here. And I may ask the question tonight, why did he die? Well, the Bible says tonight that by his blood we are cleansed. We are purified. We are made righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says tonight, if Jesus had not... Now that's I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that a little bit later. But when we think of why did he die? Ephesians 1:7, Revelation 1:5, Colossians 1:14, Hebrews 9:22, 1 John 1:7. talks all about the blood of Jesus and that we're cleansed by His blood. So when He died and shed His blood, there was forgiveness. And we might ask the question, why did He rise from the dead? The Bible says tonight, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My Bible tells me tonight, had those ungodly people known, had Satan known that he's going to rise from the dead, he would have never have crucified him. That's the blessing tonight of being a friend to an almighty person that knows everything. He's limited to what he can know tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, had Christ not risen from the dead, you and I would still be in our sins. There would be no hope. So we don't only have to thank God tonight that He sent His Son, but I think we need to thank Him that He was willing to die, and that even at that point, that He was willing to raise Him up. Oh, Hebrews 12 tonight. You know, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But we all face different things. Sometimes we hardly may know which way to turn. But I'd like to quote Hebrews 12 tonight, and I'd like to encourage you. When you're facing a trial that you hardly know which way to go, it may be sickness. It may be a financial thing. It may be whatever. It may be something you're struggling with. And I had to remind myself of this scripture many times in my own experience. The Bible tells us tonight, when Jesus was faced with the cross, He would rather not have gone through with it. But He said, not my will, but thine be done. So therefore, when Jesus was confronted with the cross, my Bible tells me He looked beyond the cross that He could again be in the presence of His Father. And I say tonight, if you just dwell upon the fact that you're blind, that you can't see, it's going to take you this way. If you complain and if you just look on the fact tonight that you're financially up against, you don't know where to go, if you just dwell on that, it's going to take you this way. So I'd like to encourage us all tonight, whatever we are facing, that we hardly know which way to turn. I'd like for us tonight to look up beyond what we're experiencing to Jesus Christ. And He's made that provision tonight for us. And I thank God for that. Well, yeah, why did He raise from the dead? So we can live victorious. Had He not risen from the dead, had He not gone up into heaven, brethren, you and I wouldn't have a Holy Spirit within us. He only came after Jesus left. You know, Jesus was only in one place at a time, but because of that experience, we can have the Holy Spirit within us wherever each one of us are. What a blessing! Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, God, for letting Him die on the cross. Thank you, God, for raising Him up again. And thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. You know, He sent us the Holy Spirit to remind us about the things that Jesus was teaching. Oh, do we take for granted tonight the Holy Spirit? But tonight, that's not the end yet. One more thing. If you bear with me for just a little bit. One more thing. He's coming again. Do you believe that tonight? Are you living like you believe it? Two different questions. Tonight, dearly beloved, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a little bit concerned how deep we're pounding our stakes. I'm afraid sometimes we're building tents like we want to stay here forever. And I tell you, brethren, tonight, I'm ready to move on. I don't want to stay here. I'm looking for something better. I'm looking for something better. This body of mine is wearing out. This body of mine don't let me do what I'd like to do anymore. This body of mine comes in the way of things that I want to do and places where I want to go. And you know, it was my wife and I's dream. Once we get to the place where we are, and all our children are married. We used to talk about this, and it was our dream to do a lot of traveling. Do you ever have shattered dreams? Those were shattered for us. We pictured ourselves getting a little motorhome and just doing a lot of visiting. I like people. I like to visit with people. But those dreams are all shattered. Did God make a mistake? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, if I'm honest, I would say He didn't. I don't think so. Well, anyhow. Tonight, in the last thing I'd like to talk about, you know, Jesus is coming again. John 14 says that He's going to go and prepare a place for us. And if He goes to prepare a place for us, He's coming again so that we can be where He is. Glory! Would another, if I could only make another $1,000, which would I rather do? Make that and then go? Or am I looking for that glorious place? It's a little bit like, I trust it's not like it was with one of our children. They were just small. Little Joy, I don't know how old she might have been, 5 or 6, I'm not sure. But we were having devotions one Sunday evening. And Monday mornings, we were going to go camping for 2 days. Camp out along the creek. And in our devotions, we had about the second coming of Christ. And that dear little precious girl of mine, she said, "Daddy, I hope you wait till we're done camping. I asked you the question tonight, seriously, honestly now. What would you like to do yet before Jesus comes? Or are we ready to say, even so come, Lord Jesus?" I have this feeling tonight that if we have everything taken care of in life, what we should have, what we should, and if we tonight understand what heaven is all about, what's going to be there, and we're living here like we believe that, I have this feeling that we'd be ready to go. But I ask you tonight, are you ready? I'm here to remind you, and I don't know, it could be tomorrow morning. I believe that eastern sky, the east, this would seem east, I don't know if it is or not. Now that's south, Abner, you're wrong. I guess you're probably right. But that the eastern sky is going to open up. And glory, hallelujah, there He comes. Jesus Himself. And we're going to meet Him in the air. And we're going to be with Him, how long? Forever. We say we're looking forward to that. But I'd like to remind you something in closing. As much as you and I are looking forward to be in the presence of God, and I just now thought of this scripture and I'm not able to turn to it. But it says so much. I'll put it in my own words. I can't quote it word for word. We look forward to being with Jesus, and rightly so. But I'd like to say tonight, Jesus is looking forward for you. The Bible says tonight He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to commune with us. Yeah, we want to commune with Him. We want to fellowship with Him. But I tell you tonight, according to the Scripture, He's waiting and can't wait hardly for our fellowship. Oh, when I came across that Scripture, I wish I could turn to it. You know, that gave me a different insight. You know, before I was only thinking of myself, what I'm going to have. That I can be in His presence. That I don't have to suffer anymore. That I don't have to go through pain and agony. But I can be with Him forever. Selfishly thinking that and not realizing that that's what He's waiting for. Oh, when I came across that Scripture, I just praise God. Yeah, we're looking forward for being there. But He's looking forward for having us. Now, I don't know where you are tonight. I really don't, and I don't really know how to close the service. But I was convicted one time many years ago that if you preach the Word of God, and if the Spirit talks to me, speaks to me, that I need to give an invitation, I want to do that. What could be worse than preaching the Word of God and having someone convicted and not given an opportunity to repent? So I'd just like to say this way. I'd like for you to bow your heads tonight. And I'd like for you to seriously consider where you are. Close your eyes, if you would. And consider the fact that Jesus, that God gave His Son. He lived here and taught you how to live. Are you obedient? Are you following His teaching? He lived here for a number of years. He was our example in how to face temptation. He was here as our example that if there's something in our lives, we need to confess. And then He died on the cross. He took that whipping for us. I deserve to have those long furrows on my back. I deserve to be spit on. I deserve to be hit across the face. I deserve to be misunderstood, not my Lord. not my Jesus. But he took the blunt for me. He rose from the dead. He showed himself powerful. He sent the Holy Spirit. He's indwelling within me, showing me how to live. And how am I doing tonight? How am I faring? How am I faring? While heads are bowed, while eyes are being closed, if there is someone here tonight that would just like to get to their feet and acknowledge if something has not been right, you want to make that right, you want to confess to the church, we'll give you that opportunity. With eyes closed and heads bowed. Is there someone tonight that would like to clear themselves before God? All right, while heads are being bowed, eyes are closed, if there's someone here that would like to have some counsel, I would like to say tonight my experience was when I was willing in my areas in my life that I needed help along the way, when I was willing to share and a brother prayed with me, I found myself being a lot more victorious. Because the Bible says if we confess our faults one to another, we will be healed. Do you have some sores tonight that need to be healed? Would you like to come forward and someone will pray with you? Is there anyone here that would like to do that? Lord bless you, sister. Is there anyone else? We just have a sister come up here and kneel beside her and help her through her things, whatever it is. Is there someone else that would like to come? God bless you, brother. Would someone come and just talk to them or maybe take them to another room and that you can counsel through? We need a brother and a sister up here at this time, if someone would come. Is there anybody else that would like to free themselves before God tonight? This is your hour. This is your time.